I'd like to welcome everyone to another Feldenkrais lesson. This lesson is going to give you an opportunity not only to improve the functioning of how you use your hips, but also connect it to the rest of yourself in a really interesting way. So you begin by lying on your back. And of course, if you're lying on your back and your head is not comfortable, you're welcome to put something underneath. But this is the kind of lesson your head will eventually be involved. And so please pay attention. And if you feel like you need to move your head or your pillow in any way, take care of that. And just for a moment, notice your contact with the floor. And sense how your pelvis is lying on the floor. And there's so many different ways to sense the pelvis. You could sense in terms of its weight or how much of your pelvis touches the floor right now. For many people, just sort of the bottom of the pelvis by the tailbone, bottom of the tailbone is available. And for some people, it feels like there's more contact on one side than the other side. And then with this awareness of your pelvis, could you turn your attention to how your legs are lying on the floor? And notice if one leg feels like it's turned out a little bit more. You can sense maybe the space underneath your knees or the direction that your knees or your toes are pointing. You're welcome to peek if you want. I saw a couple people peeking. If you want to peek and look to verify for yourself whether your sensation is congruent with what is really there. And so the organization of your legs is often a piece of information about how your pelvis is tilted or how your leg enters your hip joint. And then notice the back of your shoulder blades. And is one side heavier there than the other, or distributed differently than the other? And now we're going to use a little bit of imagination for starters to give ourselves a different kind of reference point. So could you draw in your mind an imaginary line that goes from your right shoulder to your right hip? And so it's a relatively straight line, but you may find that it goes out diagonally in one direction or the other, depending on which part of your shoulder and which part of your hip you decided to connect. But just seeing it, noticing its clarity, or it sometimes for some people it disappears and reappears. So just noticing its length. And then draw another line from your left shoulder to your left hip. And just notice whether this line is longer or shorter or goes in a different direction. And now we're going to draw two more lines, and they're going to go diagonally across yourself. So if you start at your right shoulder and draw a diagonal line that goes across your torso to your left hip, just sense where that line goes across you. And it doesn't have to be even a surface kind of line where it's going across the top of your body. You might feel it right through the middle of yourself. And then draw a fourth line from your left shoulder to your right hip. And just noticing whether that line is longer or shorter, clearer. And where do these lines intersect for you? Is it in the middle? You feel free to take your hand and just place your hand on your torso where you feel those lines cross right now. It's always interesting to kind of go, oh, really? That's where it is? And then just let that go. And now bend your right leg and put your right foot standing. And just notice how that foot has connected to the floor. Do you feel like you've got your weight distributed right underneath the whole sole of the foot, or if it's underneath the right or the inside or the outside of the foot? And you don't have to correct it. It's really about noticing right now, because you're going to be changing how you relate to the floor in a second. And so now, just very simply, using your foot as a support on the floor, begin lifting your right hip and lowering it, just your right hip. So you're not lifting your whole pelvis off the floor, but you're lifting the right hip. You're going to feel like your left hip might be getting heavier. You might feel how your ribs participate on the right and on the left side. And as you press, could you pay attention and notice, what does your foot do actually? Are you pressing with your heel? Are you pressing with the outsides of the feet? And where else do you make this effort? Are you tensing in the front of your leg, in the back of your leg? Are you using your buttock, or maybe even your low back? Just notice, how do you do this movement? And all the things that I just described are ways that we engage ourselves in order to do this movement, but each one of us has our own particular, I guess you could say, style for how I take a step. Because basically what you're doing right now, even though you're horizontal, is you're taking a step. Notice your breath. Notice your abdomen. And then let the whole thing go. Slide your legs down and rest. And now bend your right leg again. And this time, you'll still have the intention to lift your hip, but instead of actually trying to lift it up, we're going to break it down, sort of a deconstruction of the function. So all you're going to do is the action of pressing your foot into the floor. Very lightly, press and release, press and release. Don't worry about the hip coming up. In fact, for most people, the hip won't come up at all, unless you engage your buttock or your hamstring. So keep it really light. And as you're doing it, again, noticing, are you using the same part of your foot when you just use your foot? And feel free to play around and see if you touch the floor a different way with your foot, does it change the quality of the movement for you? It can be on the outside, on the inside, use just your heel. Notice your breathing. Again, even something so small impacts on the breath. And then let it go. Slide your legs down and rest. And just notice what you're feeling underneath your right hip, the right side of your waist. And then bend your right leg again. And now you're going to do a different aspect of the movement, and that is that you're going to use your quadriceps, which is the muscles in the front of your thighs, right? There is one tiny muscle in the back also, technically, but we're focusing on the front of the thigh, and it's as if someone was pulling your knee downward so that you will feel your foot pressing, but you're not intentionally working with the pressing. Instead, you're thinking about lengthening that knee away from your head and then coming back down. You're just lengthening your knee away from your head. So not out to the side, but straight downward. And again, you're not going to get very far. And this does not take your pelvis into rotation. You're going to actually feel a little bit of an opening and expansion in the front of your hip. Again, noticing your abdomen. And does this change how your foot presses into the floor? Notice if there are moments where you still want to get into tensing, either in your buttock or maybe even in your opposite buttock or in your shoulders. And then once again, let it go, slide your legs down and rest. So by exploring the different aspects of a function, I inform myself about how I use these parts when I engage everything in the act of walking or different kinds of movement, even pushing. We'll see. You'll see that there's other functions as we get further on in this lesson. And now once again, bend your right leg. And this time, could you do it so that your pelvis merely rotates? So you can let your knee fall over. You're not pushing your foot into the floor now. So you're not doing any pushing or lifting. You're just letting that knee, the right knee, fall over a little to the left so that gravity just lets your pelvis roll. You're doing it as lazily as possible. So you're letting gravity be your friend here and just letting that knee fall over so that you can feel how you're twisting in your rib cage now a little bit. Your spine is doing a little bit of a twist. Again, as you do this, pay attention to what's happening in your abdomen. And then pause, lead your leg up. And now go back to what you did in the beginning of the lesson. Just lifting your hip any old way and see what it feels like. Is the movement clearer for you now? Is there something different about how your hip lifts? What parts of you are involved in the movement? So even though your intention is simply to lift the hip, you can see that actually you're also rolling, you're also extending. So there's a lot of other things involved in this action. And let the whole thing go, slide your legs down and rest. And just notice what the two sides of yourself are like now. Does one side feel more comfortable against the floor, longer or shorter, bigger, smaller? Is one side breathing differently than the other side? And now bend your left leg and put your left foot standing. And again, take a moment to just sense this foot's contact with the floor. Is it different? And then just begin doing the movement. Of lifting your hip, just the left hip, and just noticing, first of all, does this hip move differently than the other side? Is it easier or more difficult? Are you able to apply some of the things that you learned from the other side without even thinking about it? Or maybe this hip has other issues? So we listen as we do it. And remember, you're just lifting the left side. You're not lifting your whole pelvis up. And then just pause and leave your knee up, leave your foot standing. And on this side, we're going to work more with imagery because after all, your left side has been paying attention. So it knows a lot more than the other side knew. When we're working with the unknown, there's one quality of exploration. When we're working in the known, we can do it another way. So could you just spend a few moments and imagine that you're lifting your hip by pressing your foot, just pressing the foot. So you're not doing anything, but you're imagining that foot pressing into the floor and releasing several times. Just seeing if you can sense for yourself, you know, there's that moment where as you press, you can actually feel your tibia, the shin bone, moving down into the ankle. Can you imagine that feeling? So don't do it, just imagine it. And then go ahead and just try it a couple of times, just pressing that foot and releasing. And just notice, does it feel the way you imagined it? And if it does or it doesn't, just if it does, see if you can add more details to your sensation. And if it doesn't, just pause a moment. And everyone reimagine it now, adding some more details. So not doing the movement, but just imagining. And remembering that this is very, very tiny. If your hip is lifting off the floor, then you're probably adding your buttocks or your hamstrings. So just keep it very, very light, even in your imagining. And then let it go and rest. Even with imagining, we have to rest because you are using your brain. And then once again, bend your left leg and imagine that you're lengthening your knee away from your head so that the front of your thigh, your quadricep, is engaging. You're opening up the front of the hip. So keeping it really easy, don't do it, just imagine it, sensing how that would change the pressure underneath your foot, what you would feel in your abdomen, in your breath. And then just do it a couple of times, just very lightly. And just noticing, does it feel different on this side? Does it feel different from the way you imagined it? And then pause a moment and reimagine it, filling it in with vivid and interesting details, all the things that you just discovered about yourself. And then pause a moment. And now imagine the rotation action. Imagine your hip rolling. What would your right leg do as your left leg tilts over? Is that part of the picture? Where would you twist in your spine? How would your ribs be involved? And then just do the movement a couple of times, letting the leg tilt. Again, you're not pressing your foot here. So if your hip starts raising up, you're doing more than you need to do. Just let the leg fall over. And again, if you are doing it in a way that's different from the way you imagined it, then give yourself a few moments to pause and reimagine. I'm always wanting to clarify that I'm doing what I think I'm doing, especially with these simple movements, because then when we get into the complex things of rolling or extending, we have to trust the intelligence of the body to be able to do it. And then pause a moment. And then just do the movement of lifting your hip and see what it feels like now, any way you want. And has this side learned something new as well? And then let the whole thing go, slide your legs down, and rest. And just notice your contact with the floor. And now just spread your legs out a little bit and then spread your arms above your head so you look like a big X. Or wherever your arms will let you go. If you have a shoulder issue, then you spread your arms where they'll lie comfortably. And now, if you want to, you can just let your right arm come back down by your side, or you can leave it there. We're just going to be working with the left arm for a little bit. And sense the length of your left arm and where your left arm is in your kind of attaching to your shoulder joint, right? So in so many ways, the shoulder joint and the hip joint have a relationship, and your left shoulder is connected diagonally to your right shoulder when you walk. So just begin a really lazy, easy movement of letting your arm reach along the trajectory that it is. So your left arm is above your head, so it just stays there, and it's like you're just reaching for something along that same trajectory. You're not sliding your arm down or sliding your arm up. It's kind of like pulling out of your shoulder joint, out of your shoulder socket, and returning several times. Of course, it's not actually coming out of your shoulder socket, but you're feeling that lengthening. You can feel perhaps that your shoulder blade is sliding. Notice what you feel in the front of your rib cage. Your rib cage, remember, begins right. It's right under your clavicle, right under your collarbone. That's how high up your rib cage goes. So as you're reaching your arm here, that part of your rib cage can begin to participate and listen to this action of reaching. Maybe you can even feel it all the way down into your right hip. And then slowly bring that arm down and take a rest. And extend your right arm. And so your right arm is extended. And begin lengthening your right arm along this trajectory, noticing how it's different. Is this shoulder blade as available for you? Now, as you continue reaching on this side, could you begin also to turn your head as if you wanted to turn and look towards where you're reaching, right? Kind of lazily extending the arm. And now as you're reaching, you're turning your head. And as your arm returns, please return your head as well. So we're beginning to start to see that connection between the function of reaching and how we look at things, right? So usually when I'm reaching for something, I'm also looking to where I'm reaching. And how does that impact, again, on the front of the chest and now on the neck as well? And then let that arm come down and rest again. And then lengthen your left arm above your head in that same angle that you had a few moments ago. And now begin reaching with this arm, letting your head turn. Notice how that impacts when your head turns. Does that change the weight distribution under your shoulder girdle? Or does it stay the same? And now as you continue reaching in this direction and letting your head turn, could you add another movement of your head? And that is, once you've turned your head to the left, could you slide your head so that you look up beyond your hand, as if the back of your head slides backwards a little bit. So you want to look maybe at the other wall in the room. So your arm is reaching, and at the same time you turn your head, and then with your head turned, with your head turned, you look out beyond your hand. So your chin is moving away from your chest and then returning. And noticing how that feels. Can you feel how the weight is changing on the left side of yourself? And then once again, let it go, slide your arm down and rest. And now extend your right arm and try that same movement of lengthening your arm and including your head and letting your head slide backward here. And now, could you think that, you know, you can make it up, that you have some kind of an intention, you know, I'm reaching for something. I'd really like to get my glasses or my chocolate or my suntan lotion. And if you could think for a moment, as you're adding intention to this desire, this wish to get something, can you remember what you were doing with the bottom half of your body just a few minutes ago? And would there be a movement of lifting the hip and pressing with the foot that could help this reach go further? Right? Remember that movement of lifting the hip, pressing the foot. So which foot would help you to reach for your object of desire? So go ahead and play. Go ahead and play. See what it feels like. See if it feels organic for you. Verify for yourself. So put one foot on the floor and press that foot and lift that hip as you reach and see if that makes a difference for you. And just notice, once you started doing this big movement, what happened to all the awareness of all the other parts? Has it become just one thing, reaching? Or is it still pressing with the foot, lifting the hip, rolling the torso, turning the head, reaching the arm? Right? Suddenly it's become one thing, and let it go and rest. So we deconstruct a function, but then we put it all together and it just becomes an activity. So everyone in this group that I could see chose to use the left foot standing in order to extend the right arm. So just so you know, it's perfectly valid to have used the right leg, but it would take you in a different trajectory. And there are other lessons that explore the lengthening on just one side. But because your arms are diagonal, you're feeling that diagonal connection. Maybe another time we'll do a lesson that explores the other aspect of this reach. So now place your left arm. And of course, now you know, so bend your right leg and see what does it feel like to reach, to think reach, but start from your foot. So I want to reach for something, but the movement begins where? Does it begin with the arm and then the leg follows? Or does it begin with the foot and the head? It's kind of an interesting question. As you're doing this movement, notice if you have gone back to doing it in some sort of habitual way, tensing your buttocks or straining because suddenly you're in the action of reaching. And can you give yourself permission to not strain, to keep it easy? Let your head look up beyond your hand. And this is such a beautiful movement. You know, when you watch it, you understand why people constantly use this as the photograph of the Feldenkrais method. Again, make sure your arm is comfortable, that it's not too high up, that you keep it at a diagonal so it can be resting on the ground. Now, as you continue doing this movement, could you play with how you might be able to turn your hand over. So as you push with your hip and reach with your arm, could you find a way to turn your hand over so that the palm connects with the floor? And there's an easy way to do this and a hard way to do this. So just notice whether it feels easy for you or not. So as you're reaching with that left hand, if you turn your thumb downward, it's easier than if you turn your thumb backwards. And then let the whole thing go and rest. And bend your left leg and extend your right arm. And just begin the movement, the intention to reach. And this time, can you play with starting in different places intentionally? Maybe one time you start with your foot. Another time you start with your thought. Another time you might start with the center of yourself or your fingers. Just playing a little bit. So your left foot is standing. And just notice what happens to your awareness when you start playing with your intention or your thoughts. Right? Feldenkrais always said that there's always four things going on: thinking, sensing, feeling, and movement. But we're not aware of them. So when I start to put my awareness on my thought, do I lose my awareness of my physicality? Can I include both? And could you add now letting that hand roll over? You're looking up beyond your hand and the hand is rolling over. And then let the whole thing go and rest. And now bring both arms up. Bend your right leg. And begin the movement of reaching with your left arm, pressing with your right foot, looking towards your left arm. Just try that action again. And as you do that, it kind of drags your right arm a little bit. So let that right arm be dragged. It's okay. And now, could you find a way to continue moving? In other words, you're all stopping at a certain point, sort of near your side. What would happen if you kept on reaching and kept on pushing with your foot? Where would you go? So there comes this moment where my relationship to the room, my orientation changes. So as you push and as you reach, you come to this point of no return, and it takes you onto your stomach. For those of you who were thinking, what is she asking me to do? Now you're in the known. And once you've landed on your stomach, think for a moment, how could you reverse the movement exactly, right? We're always trying to find a way to make our movements reversible. So can you, that's right, bend the leg, bring it back over, and end up back on your back. And then just try that movement a couple times, going to your left feeling that movement. And as you end up on your stomach, could you still have your chin away from your chest? In other words, could you still be looking up at that object of your desire? And then as you return, it takes you back to your back and you're looking up at that left hand. And then let it go and rest. So it seems like such a basic movement, right? And we see babies do this movement all the time. They want their rattle or their little toy, and they figure out a way to roll onto their stomachs. And then they also are learning how to lift up the head. And these are all things we know how to do, but we forget how they all go together. And so bring your arms diagonally over your head and put your left foot standing. And of course, now there is no moment of unknown, right? You know where you're going. So let that happen. You push with your hip, you extend with the arm, turn that hand over, look up, come to your stomach, keeping your head up, looking towards your little, your rattle, and then reverse it. And so again, there comes this question. How do I put all the pieces together, connecting my hips with my shoulders, with my arms, with my head, in order to enact this act of rolling? Because you could, I mean, you're all adults, you're perfectly capable of just kind of rolling like a log to one side, right? But here, you're engaging in something much more complex, which is the act of reaching while rolling. And I don't know how much room anybody has in your room, but of course, you could just continue the roll until you crash into some furniture somewhere so that you keep on going in the same direction. How would that happen? You would have to change the bending of your knee. And of course, if you don't have room, please don't feel you have to do it. You can also do this on your lawn. Get the neighbors curious. So you don't have both knees bent, right? One leg is bent. So you have to keep changing your legs. And then let it all go. Rest on your backs. And once again, bend your right leg, put your right foot standing, and just see, what's it like now to lift that right hip? And switch your legs. And then let that go, slide your legs down. And come back to your lines. Notice, draw the line from your right shoulder to your right hip. And your left shoulder to your left hip. And have those lines changed in any way for you. Maybe they're just clearer. Maybe they've changed their length. Or their relationship. And then go back to the line that goes from your right shoulder to your left hip. And from your left shoulder to your right hip. Where do they intersect now? Has the length of one or the other one changed in any way? And then come back to sensing the weight distribution underneath your pelvis and underneath your shoulder girdle, behind your shoulder blades. And how has that changed for you? Sense how your legs are coming out of your pelvis. Notice your breathing. And then when you feel ready, you can roll to your sides and come on up to standing. And once you're standing, just taking a moment to sense the length of your arms hanging from your shoulder girdle and see what's it like to reach upward when you're vertical. Do you look at your hand? What do you feel in your opposite hip? What would happen if you lifted one heel as you reached? Which heel would it be? And of course, try your other arm too. So I can't see everybody's bodies, but I'm trusting that you're all reaching with one arm and then the other arm and just feeling how it, what it's like to look up, to sense that. And then take a walk around. This very complex action of putting one foot in front of the other while the shoulders move in opposition. And so that's the end of the lesson.